Good morning.
Morning.
Hope everybody is doing well today.
We're here.
Yay! You know, one morning, a farmer told his wife that he was going to go out and to pluck fruits from his field. He got off to an early start so he could warm up the truck. He needed more gas, so he went to the store to get it. Now, on the way to the store, he noticed the pigs hadn't been fed yet. So he proceeded to the corn crib where he found some sacks of corn. Besides the sacks were potatoes, and he noticed that they were sprouting. Then, when he started for the potato pit, he passed the wood pile and remembered that his wife wanted wood in the house. As he picked up a few sticks, an ailing chicken passed by. He dropped the wood and picked up the chicken. When noon arrived, the frustrated farmer had not even gotten to the truck, let alone to the field. By now, it was very hot. Some of the ripe fruit had already fallen to the ground. Today's gospel reading is rather short, but I see a lot packed in there of things that we should be taking to heart. In our walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are and have an almost limitless number of things that come between us and worshiping and serving our Lord and Savior. Among them are things like distractions, failure to prioritize, lack of concentration, inability to focus, lack of purpose, and still many, many others. I'm sure that some of you have experienced these things over the years, and you may even still struggle with them at times. In today's reading from Luke chapter 10, we see an example of some of them through the eyes of Jesus as he entered a village, unnamed in Luke. As we read in the scripture, we find that this was the house of his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The village, therefore, we understand to be Bethany from other texts. Now, it is assumed that the writers of the Gospels may have avoided naming cities so as not to detract from the importance of the occurrences or to cast aspersions on the residents of those cities. He didn't want the people to be distracted. He didn't want them to be thinking about, Bethany, yeah, Mary and Martha and we know those people. He didn't want them to be thinking about that. So obviously the writers didn't want to put down the names of all the cities and everything. The importance and understanding of the story was far, far more important than where it had occurred or who was involved. And the privacy of the people involved was also very important, not wanting their lives to be disturbed by onlookers or just plain evil people. The story in Luke prior to this reading was the parable of the Good Samaritan that was told by Jesus in reply to a lawyer who was trying to trip up Jesus by asking him, "Who is my neighbor?" This gospel reading, though, is not a parable. This is a part of the actual story of Jesus as he walked towards Jerusalem. They continued to walk through the countryside. Jesus led them towards Jerusalem to fulfill his call to ascend into heaven, as found in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That was his prime thing that he was doing then. He was going to Jerusalem because he knew now was the time that he was being called home. And on the way, he taught. He taught the people all the things that they needed to know. Beginning with our gospel reading in Luke, starting with verse 38, Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into their house. Now, the name Martha is not a Hebrew name. It's Aramaic. And equates to the Greek Kyria, meaning lady. And this Martha had a sister who was called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Here we begin to see the differences between Martha and Mary. Mary had obviously, through her dedication to Jesus, established her priority. Nothing will come between Mary and the word of Jesus. This is where her focus lies. And she concentrates on nothing else, not even the grousing of Martha, as she is left to serve alone. Martha, on the other hand, has a different priority, serving. Nothing in the text addresses what Martha's attitude towards Jesus and his teachings were, but it is obvious serving has a higher priority than Jesus and his teachings. Here, we can all take a lesson from these verses. Do we do a self-examination in our lives as to what our priorities are and why? Martha, you know, she may have seen herself as performing the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate service for Jesus by serving him and her other guests. That may have been her pride and joy in her life, something she counted on above all else. That was her reason for living, maybe. She obviously put herself and her priorities above Jesus and his teachings. It wasn't like the excuse that we can use today. I'll turn on the recorder and I'll listen to it later. I've got too much other stuff to do right now. Mary's priority was Jesus and his teachings. Nothing else mattered to her. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." To me, this sounds like a childishly sulky or bad-tempered outburst of jealousy. How dare she sit on her backside while I do all of the work? You can almost see her screaming red in the face, demanding that her priority should be addressed as more important than Mary's. "Jesus, do you not care?" Whoa. You say that to Jesus? "Jesus, you don't care?" This matter of addressing the situation, especially to Jesus, underscores the priorities and the faith that Martha had in Jesus and his teachings. To me, she is treating him as if he was hers to command and demand so that she got her way. "Do you not care? Tell her then to help me." She's bossing Jesus around. If Martha was trying to get the serving done faster so she could listen to Jesus also, then things might have been a little bit different. But with all else that she said and she did, I can only assume that her only priority was serving. Serving was a good thing, and in those days, hospitality was very, very important to the Jews. But Martha went not just a little bit, but a lot overboard in demanding her wants and needs. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." When we read the Bible and we see a name repeated, it obviously is making a point that is of great importance. And in some cases, it comes in pitying love. We find examples of this in Luke 22:31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fall. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You can hear the tone of pity in there that Jesus has for Simon. And in Acts 9, verses 4 and 5, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Again, you hear that tone of pity in there. For the people who do not understand, do not know. Also, you might even want to take an example from the Brady Bunch. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia! You remember that, I'm sure. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, some commentators, as I read on this, will take verse 41 and verse 42a and kind of run them together so that to them it reads, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. When they do that, they see the many things and the one things as referring to possibly the dishes that were being served. Remember that in biblical times when these verses were written, there was no punctuation marks, no commas, no periods, no question marks or exclamation points. Everything just ran right together. And if you ever sit down and try to look through the Hebrew text and look at this, it's very hard to just kind of to get the various words in there because they just all just are crammed together. Now, when you see these marks in the Bible, the periods, the commas, the spaces, the chapters, the paragraphs, all of these things, remember, these were added many, many centuries later and were based upon the usage at that time, not on the biblical time, and the interpretation of the people adding the punctuation. So what was there was not necessarily what was intended by the original writers. Therefore, some were reading verse 41 and verse 42a as one complete sentence, which may have been read as, Martha, Martha, we don't need a 12-course meal. Only one course is necessary. Which could make a little bit of sense there because she was so busy. And Jesus was just telling her, we don't need all that food. Just give us hot dogs or something like that. And we'll be happy. As I read it, Jesus was telling Martha she had too much on her mind. Her serving, her position in the community, and how they would see her if she failed in serving Jesus. How she had to do everything by herself and her own selfish attitude. Jesus then added, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Now, if we want to take a look at all of this again as talking about food, then Mary got the steak and nobody could take it away from her. She got the good portion. Everybody else got macaroni salad. But I think you will all be able to interpret it as the good portion, meaning that rather than making the meeting with Jesus all about serving and hospitality, it was all about the love that Jesus brought through his teaching and his being there with him. And that is the good portion that Mary chose. She didn't choose to try and be the best server in the town. She chose to listen to Jesus and love him. Now, as we attend services here at CTK, or as we go to a Bible study or participate in morning or evening prayer, or if we just sit down and read the Word of God, take a few minutes before beginning and ask the Lord to open your hearts and mind to his words and to help keep your minds focused on his words. Ask him to help you avoid distractions. Ask him to help you concentrate on what his words mean in our lives. And above all, make your purpose in life to do his will. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we just thank you so much for the words that you have given us. Father, we ask that you would continue to lift us up, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, your grace, and your mercy. that you would continue to guide us and fill us with the peace of Jesus Christ always. Father, we ask this in your holy name. Amen.